Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. And that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Gary Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Show. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson. This is a new time because new things are happening. Our regular time is from 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So it's a special time. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. We are worldwide. If you'd like to come into the studio, you're going to need the number because we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. It's on people's mind today. The number is 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get your voice heard. And I'm giving my best wishes and prayers and thoughts to Ellen Jay, who's in Louisiana. They're having a hard time right now. To all the people in Louisiana. They treated me very nice, as like an adoptive son. I'm giving you all my heartfelt prayers and love, and you're going through a difficult time, and you'll get through this. You got many people praying for you right now, and I hope all goes well, and hope Ellen Jay will be on the air with me soon. You know, today I was talking about Well, I was thinking about critical race theory. I have no idea what this is about. I've been hearing it. It's in the news. People are talking about it. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to get the idea. I'm going to get an idea of what's going on. And we're also going to talk about what happened in Texas last night. It seems like your Governor Abbott signed into law one of the strictest abortion laws possible. The Supreme Court won't hear it. Got to a point where, let's just say if you're an Uber driver and you're taking someone to get an abortion, you could be sued. You can be sued. Any doctor performing an abortion can lose his license. Or if you help someone to get an abortion, you can be sued. We're going to get into that. Then there's another thing about Donald Trump. It seems the major Republican, I think people finally got it, right? You finally got it. I mean, we got a guy who's out of the office. He has no power whatsoever. You guys are not believing the lies anymore. The educated people are not believing it. There's no hope for him to rise again. And we start talking about if Donald Trump is rising, he's going to be 80 years old. I don't care. Even if Superman's 80 years old, he's not going to be able to fly. Let's just put it to you that way. I mean, his mental capacity, the way it is right now, is suspect. Borderline. Dumb fuck. So can you imagine 4 years from now or 5 years from now how his mental capacity is going to be? We're going to talk about that. And so the donors are leaving Donald Trump. They basically call it a shit show. If we have time, there's a very disturbing thing that's going on in America. And the headline is very disturbing. What happens if everybody quit their job? That's the headline. What if people don't want a career anymore? Let's say, imagine people quitting from Burger King, McDonald's, all the fast food, Walmart. Imagine that. Well, you don't have to imagine it because it's here. If we have time, we'll talk about that. So you know the number to get into the studio. They talk to me, the number one guy in the morning. Are you freaking kidding me? 319-527-6099. That'll get you in the studio. That'll get your voice heard. Whatever you have to say is cool. Because this is a platform where everyone has an opinion, and every opinion should be listened to. We're not run by no conservative assholes. We're not run by right-wing wackos. We're not run by leftists, Democrats, or people who try to shut you down or whatever, or cancel culture. No, this is the talk show where we talk. This is the talk show that we have opinions. And no matter how wrong you are, I like to hear them. So you are listening to Hammer Radio Network, and I am Brian Hammer Jackson, the number one guy in the morning. I know you miss me, and I miss you too, you little bitches. I miss you bitches. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a little song. And when I come back, it'll give people a chance to call in. And we're going to get to the critical race theory. What the fuck is it? What is going on? Are you freaking kidding me? Oh, by the way, our ratings are up, if anybody cares. Our ratings are up. I like to do, once in a while, I like to do this. I don't do it often. I don't. Why? You guys don't care. But sometimes there's sponsors out there that want to know. All right? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you my ratings are up. Damn, they're up. You know, I tell you guys we're heard around the world, and we are. We are. They know it. They know what's good radio. I'm good radio. But let me just give you some of what's going on here. Wow. Ratings are up like you would not believe. Here, I'm just going to name five. Ratings are up in Australia. My God, they're up in Australia. They're up in India. The United Kingdom's doing great. Canada is kicking ass. In the United States, I got an 80% share. You guys miss me. As of to date, I've been on the air for a while. As of to date, I just looked at it. You're not going to believe it, and I don't say it, because the haters will always hate, and the winners will always believe the truth. Over 47 million listens. Probably more. I'm just going to give you a low number. So if you're a sponsor out there, this is the platform if you really want to reach the influencers, the people that matter, the people that spend money. That's right. I'm the guy. I'm the guy. All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little song right now, and then we're going to get right to it. Critical race theory. What the hell is this? I'm going to try to explain what this is, because it's the first time I'm even thinking about it, but since the pandemic is going crazy and the news had enough of Afghanistan, they're going back to the go-to, which is racism. Racism. Are we tired of this? We're going to find out what that is. All right. I'm going to take a quick little break here. I'm going to play a little song, give you a chance to call in the studio. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network, BT Radio. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. I'm your guy. I'll be on for a couple of hours. Don't miss me. And we'll be right back in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
right to it. We got a couple of celebrity guests. They're my celebrity guests in the studio. I love them. Thank you for coming in. I call them the best part of the show. And I want to introduce the Kings of Kings, the Royal Heine, Mr. King Webb. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Brian. How you doing this morning, man?
Doing good, man. I'm going to talk about this critical race theory. Go ahead, my friend.
Oh, no, I was going to say that I had problems getting in this morning again. And
really?
It had the busy signal twice. And so I waited about 2-3 minutes, and it let me get in. So,
damn.
Yeah.
Damn, Blog Talk.
They hating. You know what I mean? You got people that's hating right now, and that's all it is. You know what I mean? But yeah. When I caught that, I said that's what was happening last week. So same thing, but it's all right.
I know. Hey, I'm glad you made it, man. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, yeah, me too.
The morning crew, Mr.
How you been
King
doing?
Webb. I've just been doing some production stuff. I'm glad to get back on the air.
Good.
My throat's a little rough,
that's
but
good.
I think I can make it through it. But it's good to hear your voice,
yeah.
My man. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, yeah, it's good to hear yours, too.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And we have another little voice that we love to hear. Good morning, Latia. How you doing, baby?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. What have you been up to, Latia? You sound good.
Trying to get ready to move.
Yeah. Now, your babies are too young to go to school, right?
Yeah, but my son, he's going to be 3 next. Not this week, but... Okay, he's going to be... How can I say? Okay, he just gonna be 3 on the 18th. I'm just saying like that. But where I'm at, they say he can't go to preschool until he's 4 years old. But if I was back at home, he would have been able to go to preschool.
Right. I have seen preschool where I'm at from 6 months old. 6 months. I mean, I say 6 months. Wow.
Yeah, because shoot, daycare take them at 6 weeks.
Damn. Is it expensive? Wow.
It depends on who you go to, but Amir never been to daycare and Isaiah. I don't know. They only person that really watched Amir was my mama and me. But nobody else outside of anybody else had watched him. But when I had to have his sister, my aunt only watched him because he couldn't come in. And so, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad they're home. Right now, you don't need those babies and no daycare catching no COVID, baby, COVID. Keep those babies safe. And that brings me to King. King, how are you holding up? Because I know you got some kids that are going to school right now. How are you holding up with this?
Actually everything's going pretty good, you know. You know, they wear their mask, they wash their hands, you know, they use the hand sanitizer and you know, the disinfectant wipes and all that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, I make sure that they stay, you know, clean. And then too, the teachers and everybody at the school, you know, they have a certain procedure on how they do things. And so, I mean, everything's going pretty good, you know. Everything's going pretty good. I can't really say anything bad. I mean, they're doing pretty good, so.
Oh, that's good to hear. I love both
those
babies. Every time they say hi, I always smile for the whole day. They are so great.
Yeah.
Oh, Latia, I said something inappropriate. I tried to be good. I don't know. I asked the babies a math question. I'm still laughing, King. I'm still laughing. I asked the babies, okay, here's a math question.
Told you all the answers.
Huh?
Junior told you all the answers.
Oh. He's which one's Junior, the oldest?
Yeah, that's Little David.
Little David. Well, it probably was Little David who answered the
yeah.
question, knowing that it's from his father. I asked a math question, Mattia. I said, okay, Uncle Brian is going out for the weekend, and there's three girls. How many girls is Uncle Brian going to take home? I think Little David said two.
Yeah. Yeah,
it has
two
to be Little David.
Question,
I know. He's a smart kid. All right, here we go. Critical race theory. Before I explain it here, they're going to explain it on PBS. What is critical race theory? Now, to be honest, people in the room right now are African American. That's the term. We like to call them black people. That's the term. Some people call it the niggas in the studio. That's the term, which I'm one. But if you are white, brown, yellow, green, and alien, I'd like you to come in and to participate too, because this affects everybody. I don't deal with racism, but this is going to be in the news for a while. And here's a little bit of what critical race theory is about.
And teaching about America's past and present by looking at the role of systemic racism, what we've just been discussing. But the very critical race theory is a way of thinking and teaching about America's past and present by looking at the role of systemic racism, what we've just been discussing. But the very term itself, critical race theory, has become a political flashpoint across the country, especially when it comes to how to teach young people about justice and equity in America. As Amna Nawaz reports for our Race Matters series, the debate over its potential role in school curricula has set off a firestorm that has roiled school districts and state legislatures nationwide.
It's already over. It's already over.
Next year, Jameson Maddox will be a senior here in Loudoun County, Virginia. His favorite subject is history, even though he felt black history was lacking.
I think there could be some things that happened in history that should have been taught.
In school, did you learn about the Tulsa Massacre?
No.
Did you learn about Juneteenth?
No.
Do you feel like those are things that should be taught as part of your formal education?
Definitely. Definitely.
But, Jameson's mother, Vanessa, agrees.
This is American history. All of it should be taught in a certain context and also age-appropriate.
Maddox, who works as a job recruiter, and her husband raised both their sons in this affluent Northern Virginia suburb over the last two decades. Last year, as the national racial reckoning resonated here, Vanessa joined a Facebook group pushing what they see as anti-racism efforts in school.
When I saw the anti-racist parent group, I'm like, okay, I got to be in that.
What spurred you to join that group in the first place? What has that been like?
There is a definite need for a group like this. I like to be surrounded by like-minded, fair-minded, equitable people. You don't have to think like me. You don't have to be like me. But you do have to be anti-racist.
Not everyone in Loudoun County sees it that way.
There were parents that were just sick of it. They were just sick of, you know, constantly being told, if you don't agree with me, then, you know, you're a racist.
Ian Pryor's two daughters are in elementary school here. He's a former Trump administration Justice Department spokesman, now leading a group called Fight for School, a political action committee pushing back on equity and inclusion measures.
We're not about not teaching history. We're about teaching history in an objective way that is not represented as America is systemically racist.
When you're looking not at individual acts of racism, but the systemic racism that exists within America's educational institutions, what would you suggest be done right now?
So there's a balancing act here of making sure that, you know, there's equal opportunity for all, that we're committed to meritocracy, but also that, you know, when we are trying to figure out how to deal with any kind of social problems, we do not overstep and overreact.
Now, here's two signs right here.
Parents who agree with Pryor are now part of a growing chorus opposing what's known as critical race theory, or CRT, often a graduate-level framework that examines how the legacy of slavery and segregation in America is embedded in legal systems and policies. The thing is, critical race theory isn't being taught here, but that didn't stop dozens of parents from flooding a recent school board meeting to protest it.
The critical race theory has its roots in cultural Marxism. It should have no place in our schools. that I will do everything I possibly can to fight to the bitter end until you prove to me that you are not teaching my children that they are racist just because they're white.
That outrage echoes messaging ricocheting across right-wing media.
Critical race theory is racist.
I don't see critical theory, race theory, in our Declaration of Independence.
Much of this can be traced back to a September 2020 directive by then-President Trump, instructing agencies to identify and halt funding of anti-bias training for federal employees that suggests, quote, the United States is an inherently racist or evil country. On his first day in office, President Biden used an executive order to revoke the Trump administration's action.
When I hear the talk of critical race theory, I immediately get a signal as an alarming system for me because it's a misrepresentation and misuse of the word.
Jalea Lyles-Dunn is the director of Learning for Justice, which offers resources for teachers to create anti-bias learning experiences.
Culturally relevant, anti-racist instruction models needed. We need a classroom set up, so not just instruction, but we also need a space that lets children know you are welcome here. Inclusive education is a space where we all are at the table together. We all hear everyone's story.
The debate over which stories are included and how they're taught has fueled pushback. Critical race theory is now being leveraged as a catch-all phrase by opponents of equity and inclusion efforts in public education. In May, House Republicans denounced it at a Capitol Hill press conference.
Critical race theory is a divisive ideology.
As did former President Trump at the North Carolina GOP convention this month.
The Biden administration is pushing toxic critical race theory and illegal discrimination into our children's schools.
Nationwide, Republican lawmakers are now legislating on the idea. According to EdWeek, as of June 18th, 25 states have introduced bills or taken other steps to restrict education on racism and bias. That includes 5 states, Texas, Idaho, Iowa, Oklahoma, and Tennessee, where bills have already been signed into law. Arizona's proposed bias teaching bill could mean a potential $5,000 penalty for teachers. Texas's bill, effective September 1st, says teachers cannot be compelled to discuss current events, and if they do, they must, quote, strive to explore the topic from diverse and contending perspectives without giving deference. Some educators, meanwhile, are holding Teach the Truth rallies, fighting what they call unwarranted legislation.
I think we're raising up future voters who will not have a well-rounded perspective on their own community and society.
Valerie Wolfson teaches 8th grade social studies in New Hampshire, where a new bill would prohibit so-called divisive concepts related to sex and race from schools.
Teachers would be under pressure for severe censorship or fear of that public judgment. It's set up for people to report on you.
And you can even have a chilling effect on what people teach in their classrooms.
Completely, completely.
Back in Loudoun County, we sat down with school superintendent Scott Ziegler.
We have said for months now, we are not teaching critical race theory in our schools. We're not using any type of program to quote-unquote indoctrinate or convert our children. Our equity work is all about doing what is best for children.
That equity work was implemented after outside probes found black and brown students disproportionately disciplined in Loudoun County, facing racial insults and racially motivated violence, and students of color harmed by school practices.
What was decided at that time was we need to endeavor on a program, a systematic program, to help our teachers with this, to give them the knowledge and understanding so they can have conversations around race, very open and very honest and sometimes very tough conversations, so that they can make our schools better for students.
The district put anti-bias training in place for teachers, the majority of whom are white. That was back in 2019. Ian Pryor's group launched this year in 2021.
Superintendent says there is no critical race theory being taught here. Why are you arguing against something that's not being taught?
No one is saying that they're teaching critical race theory in Loudoun County public schools like it's physics or chemistry. It's being implemented through teacher trainings, and that, you know, ultimately drips down to how they teach our students. And it's not a subject, but it's a way of viewing the world.
Vanessa Maddox says she and other parents will continue to push for equity in schools and a more inclusive education around American history.
The opposition groups are saying, we don't care if you teach black history or, you know, other parts that haven't been taught. We just don't want you to say that all white people are evil. That's not what equity states. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that all history should be taught, regardless of race.
The school year in Loudoun County has just ended, but the debate over what next year will look like is far from over. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Amna Nawaz in Loudoun County, Virginia.
And there we go. Critical race theory. Critical race theory. This is going to be a pain in the ass. And here's what I know. You probably heard it. I made coffee. It's a theory. It's not the traditional civil rights without regard to race. Rather, critical race theory and the training to implement it is a radical ideologically. It's an idea that focuses on race as a key to understanding society and objectifies people based on race. Systemic racism in the eyes of critical race theorists, systemic racism, stems from the dominance of race in American life. Critical race theorists and anti-racist advocates argue that because race is a predominant part of American life, racism itself has become internalized into American conscience. It is because of this, they argue, that there have been significantly different legal and economic outcomes between the races. So, the advocates of the anti-racism and critical race theory use this focus on race to emphasize the importance of identity politics, such as, you know, Black Lives Matter, in some ways to identify politics, and critical race theories have captured the nation's attention for the political, simply not being racist is not sufficient, as Boston University professors Ibram Kendi writes in his book, How to Become an Anti-Racist. All right. We go on and on and on. You read it. You heard it. I'm sure you read it, but you heard it just now. But this is the problem. We're getting into the classroom now, and this is where the problem arises. In the wake of the death of George Floyd and the subsequent Black Lives Matter protests, multiple universities have responded to campus activists and outside groups demanding anti-racist actions be taken. And this is where we have the problem. 9 different colleges and universities participating in this. They want to change admission policy in an effort to ensure greater equality of outcome. Several universities have taken steps to make their admission process more equitable. These actions can range from scrapping standards tests to adding a diversity equity scorecard to the application. Implementing anti-racism bias and diversity training to get students, faculty, and staff to understand their explicit biases. All right, bullshit, I'm already gone. Here's the problem. The one side, which is the critical race theorists, said that we should talk about the American history the way it is. But they want you to understand how wrong it is. The other side says we understand the history, but we don't want our white kids to feel guilty about what happened in the history. And the other side says, we want you to feel guilty. We want you to understand what was done. This is our history, and we want you to acknowledge it, and that you're supposed to feel bad. The other side says, I wasn't part of that, and why are you making me feel guilty that I'm white? That's basically what's happening here. Now, we do have a problem in society that we are changing some things. For instance, our books. I can go with The Kill a Mockingbird. If you haven't read it, you should read it, which deals with racism. But the main thing is about our fairy tales that are racist. some of her books that are classic are racist. And they're even changing for women because they're sexist. It's just wrong. The only one I could think of is Nigger George. Or no, I'm sorry, Nigger Jim. Nigger George is another book. And which is from, oh my God, I'm losing my thought. And it's a classic, and it has the word nigger in it, so they want to change it. So my question is, can you really stop racism? You can't. Human beings, since they've been on this planet, we even have it in our religious thing, good and evil. I mean, if you want to, I mean, if you really want to put it in biblical thoughts, let's say you're a church-going person, and you know your friend don't believe in God, and maybe your friend curses God, but your friend has his own way of thinking, and he just doesn't believe in the Lord. Now, we can do that with critical race theory, and what I'm saying is that all through history, and since man's been on earth, we have differences. And race, let's just put it too bluntly, race is a difference of different people. We have differences. We point out differences because we're not all absolute. Is it wrong? Is it wrong that you have a friend who don't believe in the Lord and maybe you're a God-fearing person that you put down, cast away, because they don't believe what you believe in? Same thing with racism, critical race theory. You're asking white people or other people, I'm not just saying white people, black people agree with this critical race theory too, I'm not just saying white people. You're asking them to say, okay, this is our history, okay. But then there's other things that we're in a society that some things that they feel guilty saying in public, and I can go with rap. And go with rap. I got a good friend, Mr. King Webb. Good friend. I played his music, and I have not heard him. I don't think I ever heard him say the word nigger in his music. But let's just go with somebody else. That you know, Kanye West. Most of the rappers have probably used the word nigger in their music. Now you can argue. And if you're a rapper and you say, you know what, I don't want nobody else to buy my music. I just want black people to buy my music. White people don't buy my music. If you want to do that, cool. But you're not going to do that. Your record company's not going to allow that, whatever. So you can't get mad when somebody sings a song that has the word nigga in it. If you wrote it, and if you're an artist, if you're a rapper, you cannot. So if a white person come up to you in a concert and go, hey, what up, nigga? You can't get mad. You open that door. That man, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, King? That person bought your music.
Hey, you're so right.
And now that you're driving a limo and you're in a big house and everything, you can't say, what the fuck's wrong with you? This is the problem. And if you want to solve the problem, it's very quick. You know, it's simple. Here's my thing. You know, you can't make everybody, you know, we have a society, I blame the millennials, the little bastards. And the reason I blame the millennials is because they don't like individuality. Millennials love a group. Everybody supports everybody. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody should love one another. And if you don't love one another, they attack you. You know, you see it. And millennials are worse than anybody. If you don't love someone, they call you a hater. They call you this or call you this. And I can go with the subject of transgender. My God. If you're saying, okay, I don't agree with that, and I'm not going off of a tangent, just stay with me. What I'm saying is, if you don't agree with the differences or you don't agree with the majority, you are now an outcast, and they hate you. Because everybody, in their mind, everybody should be on the same page, which we are not. Which we are not. I have the same problem with women. When I'm old school, I'm brought up, and I see an ass, I slap that ass. That's me saying, what up, great baby? You millennial will say, that's sexual abuse and this and this and this. So you can't stop racism. This is bullshit. This is a political talking point to get elected in office. That's all this is. Everybody is racist. And if you're listening to my voice and you're going, I am not, you are racist. Yes, you are. There are, you know what, the people I can't stand are the people who don't know they're racist. I've been around them. We had one in the studio who pretended to fight for the rights of other people and black people, but every other word that comes out of his mouth is racism. And he doesn't know he's a racist. They don't know it. But everybody's a racist. We should welcome it. We should love it. We should hug it. We should accept it. Why can't we, and that's the question, why can't we accept those who don't accept us? Why can't we do it? It's very simple. It's very simple. I'll give you an example. Maybe I don't like, and I'm just doing an example, so don't take me literally. Maybe I don't like women with small asses, very small asses. I'm not attracted to small. I like them big. I like them plump. I like them spankable. I want more ass. I like a lot of ass for a lot of men. So I am not looking for, so if a girl walks by with a little bitty ass, I'm not looking. I got better times to do. And you walk by and you got an ass, and I'm looking at it, and it's just beautiful, and it's just jiggling and jumping out at you, and it just keeps on moving. Even if you stop, it's still moving. I like that ass. Don't hate me because I like big asses. And then I would get into the people going, well, it's not healthy. It's diabetic, and they should take – shut the hell up. Shut up, because it's an individual choice. Racism is not going to go away no matter how much you pretend it is. And sometimes, and I'll say it, sometimes when I hear this shit on TV and I'm hearing my warrior sister, my black ebony sister, my black ebony queen, and my black ebony princess, and they're on TV and they got something up their ass, they sound more racist than some of the white people do. Yeah, black people could be racist too. Yeah, that's it. Black people could be racist too.
Yep.
Give us some of that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But white people will never say, I guarantee you, I don't think I heard of white people in this world going, oh, that nigga is racist. I guarantee you that's never been a sentence in a white person's mouth. That nigga is racist. Well, because you tend to say, oh, well, he has every right to be racist. Look what happened to them 400 years ago. No, they don't have the right to be racist. But racism is part of us. And I don't know who said it was wrong. I don't know who said racism wrong. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. If it doesn't interfere with your civil rights, meaning that I can't go to your restaurant because I'm black, okay, I could take you to court right now and sue your ass. That's the law. Now, we're not talking law, what is right and wrong. We're talking law. So I don't have to worry about that. You don't hire me because I'm black, I could sue your ass. That's the law. So that was good. Race, we recognize, black people recognize there are racism. But we didn't try to stop racism. What we did was we said, you're going to take the responsibility of being a racist, meaning that if you hire, you're not going to hire me or let my kid in school or whatever, or go in Walmart and have to stand in line because of my color or my religion belief, we could punish your ass. We're not trying to tell you not to be racist. We're saying, if you know, the law says that if you're preventing me from making a living or housing or anything like that for making a living, you should be held accountable. But barring from that, if my neighbor is racist or my girlfriend's racist, I don't fuck. In fact, I encountered it. Because if you're racist, you're not going to be talking to my ass, and I don't have to waste time with you. But you have every right to believe what you want to believe. You have every right to Palestinians hate the Jews, and the Catholics hate the Palestinians, and Buddha, and whatever. Fine. But don't kid yourselves. All this bullshit about everybody should accept us, and remember where we went through, and the white kids are going, oh, my God, I feel really bad from what happened to my ancestors. I don't think that's right either. Why are we even talking about it? Why can't we just say, let the racist motherfuckers be racist motherfuckers. Let me be a racist motherfucker. Why can't we welcome racism? If it doesn't, again, if it doesn't go against the law. If it's just, I don't want you to date my, black people have the same thing. You know, I'm sure if I had my little beautiful princess and everything, and she's black, and there's a white guy with the freckles, and I'm going, And there's many reasons. Now, see, white people don't know this. There is many reasons why black families worry about interracial dating or marriage. And it has nothing to do with racism because they know the country is racist. This has more about health and safety. Knowing that there's motherfuckers out there that will hurt you because of that. That's what most black families worry about. That's because we know you're racist. We know you're racist from a long time ago. Even if we're a slave and you're hitting us with the whip, you may be racist. You know what I mean? You might be racist. I'm not quite sure, but you might be racist. We know there's racism, and we have laws to protect us from it. But there's a person about school. Is school a place where we should talk about this? And the other side says, well, we talk about it, but it's making us feel bad. The white people feel bad. And the other side says we should talk about it so you get to know this is our history and it's ugly. This is how you treated us, so maybe you have a better society. Where do we lean? I lean that what we do is we go by the law and we mind our own business. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to ask my celebrity people here, Mr. King of Kings, Mr. King Webb. Don't get caught on my web, and I don't give a damn, Mr. King Webb. You know, King, I understand both sides. But this thing about, are we going to stop this racism? There's people born being a racist. I don't think there should be a law against somebody being a racist. What are you thinking? Because you're in Arizona. You've seen it. And I know you probably lived it.
Yeah. The way I feel about it is, racism is never going to leave. I mean,
right.
It's always going to be here, and the problem is now they're using whatever tactics or whatever they can use, they're going to use that to make it not look so visible,
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're doing, They're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But racism is never going to leave. I mean, it's just going to be here.
Right. It's the same thing as the rich and the poor, different classes of society.
Yeah.
High society rich people, they're not going to accept the poor people. And the poor people, they're not going to accept the rich people. We say things about them at all. Like, look at that motherfucker, rich, entitled motherfucker. Oh, there's the poor people. Don't look at them, honey. You'll turn. It's just human nature that we point out certain things. And certain groups, and it doesn't have to be race. It could be religion. It could be housing. It could be schools. It could be football team, whatever. But that's what makes us who we are. But racism is not bad. And I say it as a black man, and the reason why, because I have every right to be racist. I have every freaking right. You cannot take my right away. I have every freaking right to believe that abortion should be legal. And there's a lot of people are saying that you're killing babies. I have every right to believe it. Don't take that away. And I'm going to go to Latia.
Yeah.
Latia, you beautiful little lady, you. Latia, I'll ask you the question. Do you believe that racism should be stopped? Because, if you really think of our songs and you ever think about our comedy, you can go with Richard Pryor. You go everywhere. the laughter is built on racism. Songs are built on sometimes on racism. It's just a part of life. Why you can't stop it. So why are you making a big thing out of it? Now, I don't have children. King and Latia does. I don't have children, but I have to speak on it if I did. If my kid went to school and we had different groups back when I went to school, Black History Club and Asian American Club, whatever. So we had options to learn about our theory. We had options. But you don't have to. You know, I'm with a white woman. I watch MSNBC. There's Joy Reid on there sometimes, and all she's talking about is racism. And my girl is as liberal as you can. I mean, her background is her husband was Spanish with Mexican. Her kid's last name is Sanchez. She upgraded from Sanchez to Jackson. Her kids are mixed. Her granddaughters are Asian and white. I mean, more diversity than you would ever think of. But when she watches MSN with me, she's hearing Joy Reid and some of these other people who are black, by the way. And all they're talking about is racism and white people and Trump's a racist and Trump's people and Trump's racism is and white people and black people and they don't understand black people. She comes up, she listens, she goes, don't I matter? I mean, I'm not racist. And I watch this and I feel bad, like I'm a racist. I don't like it. We don't think about the other side. I see you, Mr. Columbus Berry. Please come back in the studio. I didn't get a chance to get to you. So, I mean, God forbid I'm not protecting white people's feelings. I'm just saying that if we're going to ever be equal, if we're ever going to be one, if we're ever going to get to a chance where everybody is equal, we have to accept the ugly in us. And it's like a marriage. You know, you got the person, nobody's perfect, and they when they get drunk, they may get upset, or when they get drunk, they may be a whore. I don't know what it is, but before you have to accept the ugly for us to be complete. And the ugly is people have their biases. And we have to accept it for us to be one. Half our military are racist, if you want to be honest. But when they're in that foxhole and they're fighting against somebody, they don't see race at all. The only thing they see is blood, and that's red. And they're counting on one another. More and more mixed and biracial kids and grandkids are being born every freaking day. So the society is changing. So will racism ever die? Not as long as we have the old folks. But maybe it won't die, but then maybe we'll get to a point where we say, I understand. Brian, I don't want you dating my daughter. I understand. I'm going to fuck her when you go away. Cool? Cool. But I understand. Brian, I don't want you to date this white woman because white people get upset and they may kill you. I understand. So I'm going to bring her in a black neighborhood. But I understand. And maybe if we just understand, we could become a better people. I understand you don't believe in the Lord, but I still love you, brother. I understand that you're racist, and I have the option to not to deal with your ass. You say, oh, you said some racist shit? Okay, I'm out of here. Where are you going, Brian? You're kind of racist. Well, you're racist too? Yeah, shut up, motherfucker. Don't point out my faults. You didn't leave. I left. And then you know what will happen? At the end of the day, we'll probably be talking at the bar, saying, that's some funny shit, wasn't it? Yeah. It's because we understand. And we don't have to change people. So this is, don't be used as a puppet, you guys. Don't listen to the political bullshit of critical race theory. It's bullshit. It is a political hotbed that'll bring up some emotions that you don't want, and nobody cares. It's a talking point. And it's ridiculous because the King of Kings said, Mr. King Webb said, David said, it's not going nowhere. And we'll always be here. But if we could just understand that we are, we can respect that you're racist and not condemn them that they're racist, and they don't have to condemn you because of you living your life, maybe we can have a better life. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. The number is 319-527-6099. We were talking about critical race theory. And then we're going to talk about Texas signs into law one of the nation's strictest abortion. You guys have lost your damn mind. And you know what? We could also take the racism to being with the vaccines. Because I guess society is not, they just want to go a little further. I guess they're not satisfied with just dividing us into race, because they need something else to do. Let's divide us into you got vaccinated, I didn't get vaccinated, I hate you because you're, we have a person on here, Ellen, who thinks that unvaccinated people are the worst of the worst. They should be condemned. They should be destroyed. And we got to the point where they made it that way. Back in the day, if you got your measles shots or you didn't get your measles shot, nobody gave a fuck. They're not going to condemn you. This should not even be an issue. But the media and Joe Biden, and I'm a Democrat, are saying, well, the vaccinated people are the ones, reason why we have to wear a mask, because the unvaccinated people are not behaving, so now we're going to punish you. See, this is the bullshit. This is the criminal. So we're going to punish you vaccinated people because the unvaccinated people are not doing what they should be doing by getting vaccinated. So therefore, we're going to get mad at them. We're creating this shit. And my theory is, and I tried to explain to some people, there are people who believe that the vaccine is not right for their body, that it's poison. No matter what you do or say or try to bribe them and get a lottery or get them what, the unvaccinated people are saying, whoa, my body, my mind. And why can't we just understand and say, you know what, your body, your mind, your body, your health. Why can't we leave that alone? Well, we can't leave it alone because as long as they're unvaccinated, they're going to give it to us and we're going to be wearing it. No, that's not true. Because the lie that I had was I'm vaccinated, therefore it's harder for me to catch it and it's harder for me to give it to someone. I'm going with that. I took care of that. So that means you can't hardly catch it from me and I can hardly catch it from you. This is what you're telling me. So I don't care if you're vaccinated or not. I'm going to protect myself. You don't like unvaccinated people? They're wearing a mask. So what? Leave them the fuck alone and understand that they have certain opinions on this vaccine. Their beliefs are certain beliefs on this vaccine. And they're just as strong as yours who are vaccinated. And this is what I'm saying with the critical race theory. Why can't people just leave people the fuck alone and understand and say, you know what, you don't want to get vaccinated, cool. I still want to hang with you. I'm going to wear my mask. You don't mind? No, I don't mind. They will probably say, I don't mind. You don't mind if I talk to you 6 feet apart? No, I don't mind. They probably say, I don't mind, because they know you're protecting yourself. But you're not making them put some poison in their veins to make you feel better. This is what's going on, and this is what's wrong. The narrative is wrong. If you're telling me to get vaccinated, it's for my own health. I did it. Whether King or whether Latia or whether whoever don't get vaccinated, it's up to them. But I don't have to say, point my finger at them and say that you are a terrorist. And this is what we do. Am I right, King? I mean, I don't know. I know you guys are working and everything as I talk.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, whatever happened to that? Hey, brother, I understand you don't want to get vaccinated. Yeah, all right. You know, I respect it. I understand that. You mind if I, you know, because I got my own way of thinking. I'm going to put a mask while I talk to you. The guy will probably say thank you. Or she will say thank you.
Yeah.
Why do we have to start this hating thing? Because you have heard Ellen, and she was passionate about non-vaccinated people. It's like, where did this come from? And the same thing with critical race theory. Why can't we accept prejudice? Why can't we accept racism? For us to get along, we must accept it. We must accept another person's will or another person's way of living and say, I may not agree with you, but guess what, man? I respect that. Well, I hate niggas. I hate some niggas too. What? I don't love all niggas. There's some nigga that ripped me off the other day. I don't like him. I hate some white people, too. You do? Yeah. And chances are, if they're honest, they're going to go, yeah, I hate some white people, too. I hate some white people that were rednecks. Even white people say, yeah, I don't like some white people. Rednecks, stupid, coals. You know what I'm saying? The more we have differences, the more we are the same. If you just talk to people and accept them for who they are, whether they're evil. Look, you're evil, dude. God's going to judge you, not me. But meanwhile, I'm going to come over here and not talk to you. I'll see you in hell. You know, when you're in hell, kind of give me a letter. But I'm not going to change you. I respect who you are. And I have the right to hang around you, and I don't. And this, and if you know, you're Satan's bitch, I think I'm going to not hang around you. But thanks for letting me know who you are. I'm not going to change your ass, but I'm going to make sure I stay away from your ass. So that's my take on critical race theory. I think it's bullshit. I think we are inundating. Now they're telling people that they have to go to classes to be sensitive in what they say, because black people are going to get upset because I guess we're sensitive people, and black people have to go to class and say, because white people, you have to understand how white people, why do we got to that point. Are you fucking kidding me? Really? Fucking kidding me? This is what makes us weak. This is what makes us weak in our society, because we're bored. And we have to think of things to divide us. That's all that is. We're bored. That's right. I'm on the air. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. Brian Hammer Jackson. If you want to come in studio again, it's 319-527-6099. Racism. It's here to stay, y'all. And if you see a racist, smile at him. Wave at him. Give him a bean pie. You ever have a bean pie, racist motherfucker? Here you go. Might like it. And it's part that we don't have to... Bean pies are good. If we're ever going to be one nation, we have to accept people for who they are and give them a break. Simple. Relationships are simple. People make them complicated. Politicians will divide you so they can get a vote. That's all that is. I like this. Listen to this. Here we go. Tell me what you think.
You're listening to Winchester University's only college radio station.
Dear white people, the minimum requirement of black friends needed to not seem racist has just been raised to 2. Sorry, but your weed man, Tyrone, does not count.
Dear white people, please stop touching my hair. Does this look like a petting zoo to you? This just in, dating a black person to piss off your parents is a form of racism.
The show is racist.
Black people can't be racist. Racism describes a system of disadvantage based on race.
But I don't see what the point is in blaming white folks for everything.
I really don't see the issue. Never ran into any lynch mob.
It would be good to elect someone like you as school president.
Someone else is running.
Together, we can bring black back to Winchester.
Who does Sam think she is?
It's like Spike Lee and Oprah had some sort of pissed off baby.
I hope you make it all right. How do I feel about dear white people?
It's blacker than thou propaganda from a bougie Lisa Bonet wannabe. Take your mind
up. Black people scare you?
I listen to Mumford and Sons and watch Robert Altman movies. Think I'm black enough for the union?
Lionel, please. You're only technically black.
Sometimes I think the hardest thing to be in the American workforce is an educated white guy.
They pay millions of dollars on their lips, their tans, Jay-Z tickets, because they want to be like us.
Let's make it do what it do!
You want to know why they used to call me Black Mitch?
Absolutely.
Nobody called you that.
You've got no idea
what they see when they see you.
You've got a thing for Taylor Swift. I know, because my Mac picked up your Mac's library.
We're so careful. You don't understand. Girls like me
have to pick a side. I'm sick of your tragic mulatto bull.
I can't say mulatto.
Mulatto, mulatto, mulatto.
Does somebody say mulatto?
How would you feel if someone started a Dear Black People?
No need.
Mass media from Fox News makes it clear what white people think of us.
Your hair is so cute. Is it weaved?
Weaved? It's weave. Noun. Present tense.
Racism is over in America. The only people who are thinking about it are Mexicans, probably.
Stereotypes. It's funny. It's funny. Don't be afraid to laugh. It's funny. But we don't have to keep proving who we are. And black people, we don't have to prove nothing to nobody. And I know how you feel, because I felt that too. I was the only black kid in school. I didn't have to. I don't think the whole black race depended on me. I acted a fool. I acted who I was. I played sports. I didn't have to prove anything because I am who I am. I am Brian Jackson. I am black. I love being black. If God said to me, Brian, would you want to be black and Asian and everything? I go, if I was white, where I live? Well, you live in Beverly Hills. If I was black, where I live? The project. Take me to the projects. I love it. I am proud to be a black man in America. I'm not lying, but was there some shit that I had to overcome to become the strong-ass black man I am? Yes, and you know what? I'm glad it happened because it made me stronger. I'm glad it happened because it made me who I was and made me love me more than I am, and it made me stronger with the challenges that I had to overcome as a black man. And I'm proud of it. And I would ask for it. Maybe make me a little darker. A little shade darker, God. Well, you can't have everything. But I am proud to be a strong-ass black man. And I am proud to be a strong-ass man who loves everyone. I've had people get mad at me come on this show saying, Mr. Pollution, well, you're not black because you got a white woman. My only defense I have is I love pussy. And I don't care who you are, when you're between the legs, pussy looks the same to me. I can't tell if you're eight. Well, that's a lie. Darker the berry, sweeter the juice. It still is. It's right. It's right. I've dated everybody in every race. White, black, yellow. Some I dated, I think, weren't even human. Oh, boy. I was in college. What was that? I don't know what the fuck I had a pussy. That's all I know. I couldn't remember if it was a human species. I even dated ugly people. I didn't even be biased. Because you know what I found about ugly people? Ugly people don't have ugly pussies, believe it or not. You go down there and it's like, hey, that's a good-looking pussy. And how, let's be fair, guys, how many of us really look at the women when we're down there? I mean, half of us turn them around anyway, like it's doggy. True.
Put a paper bag over your head.
Exactly. Why not? So I have been accused of, I have dated, there's pictures of me going out and I've been in a relationship. And, you know, and you say, well, you've been with a white woman. Let me tell you something. I've been with a black woman all my life. My mom's black. My sister's black. You get where I'm going. And they raised me. So it's not like I was adopted. I was an egg, and I hatched, and some white people found me, and I know nothing about white. I've been with black women all my life. and they're strong as black women. Man, I just admire. And maybe this is the racist part of me. I'll be honest. I admire strong black women like you would not believe, and that's my preference. But you know what I admire most? And here's where the women are going to get mad at me. When I see people like, you know, my heroes, and I can say my real-life heroes, David Jr., Portley Jr., is one of my heroes. Now, you might know him as King Webb, and you're going to say, well, why is King your hero? I'm going to tell you why King's my hero. Because in the press and in the sitcoms, especially the sitcoms, we have black fathers away from the home. They don't know shit. They're, you know, they behave like clowns and everything. This is what you see in sitcoms. But when I see a black father taking care of his family, to me, he's my hero. I admire that. I respect that. I mean, I love it. When I see black men who are family-oriented and who are raising their children and taking, my God, I have the ultimate respect. And I'm not kissing David's ass. It's because I'm telling you that when we see on TV black fathers, it just recently changed. Cosby kind of changed it a little bit. Cosby kind of changed it a little bit. Cosby was still in the home. And Cosby was, and he talked to his children. You know, Good Times kind of got me on the edge about, you know. But Cosby kind of changed the focus on black, middle-class black people and black men taking responsibility and talking what is right and wrong. But so many times you'll see the movies, and so many times you'll see the sitcoms, and so many times you see the joke about the black man out of the house talking about his hoes, his bitches, his kids, and there's too many of that and not enough positive images. And Bill Cosby, as far as I'm concerned, started it. He started it, and he gave us that image. Hey, hey, hey. You want some of this drink? Okay, forget that, Bill. I liked Bill before. Come on, drink it up. That's it. Now we're going to take another break because this black man has to go, and I know you stereotype motherfuckers. What, you think I'm going to take some grape juice? I'm going to eat a watermelon? What am I doing at my break? Am I going to rob a liquor store? Am I going to loot something? Am I going to drink a 40 when I'm on the air? You racist motherfuckers. And you're probably all right. No, I'm going to take it, get another coffee break. And this will end the racism. Critical race theory is bullshit. Stop it. And just because you're giving it back to the white people, don't make it right. Just because you're making white people feel like shit does not make it right. We're not supposed to make nobody feel like shit. That's how we become one. Accept motherfuckers or who they are, and let's move on, and we will have a better life. Except the transgenders. We'll talk about them later. There's something wrong with their asses. I can only go so far. I'm going to have a cup of coffee. Listen to one of my favorites. I know if you listen to this show, I play them a lot. But if you haven't, we're on a new time. I really like Joyner Lucas. Joyner Lucas is a black man, and I'm going to play the song, I'm Not Racist. He plays both parts. The first part is a white man wearing Make America Great Again, talking about racism. The second part is Lucas Jr. talking about the other side of being black. So the first thing you hear, if you listen to the word, is a white man talking to him about shit, but he says he's not racist. And I'll be right back after I drink my coffee. And again, you listen to Hammer Radio Network, 96.7 BT Radio, 319-527-6099. Number one guy in the drive time. Here we go. Joyner Lucas, I'm Not Racist. The first part is a white guy talking with a Trump hat.
With all due respect, I don't have pity for you black niggas. That's the way I feel. Screaming Black Lives Matter, or the black guys rather be deadbeats than pay your bills. Yelling nigga this and nigga that. Call everybody nigga and get a nigga mad. As soon as I say nigga, then everyone react and wanna swing at me and call me racist cause I ain't black. Compound that then. Talking about slavery like you was around back then. Like you was picking cotton off the fucking ground back then. Like you was on the plantation getting down back then. Alright. Look. I see a black man aiming his gun. But I'd rather see a black man claiming his son. And I don't mean just for one day and you done. I mean, you still trapped in a rut. And I work my ass off and pay my taxes for what? So you can keep living off free government assistance, food stamps for your children, but you still trying to sell them for some weed and some liquor. Or a fucking babysitter while you party on the road, cause you ain't got no fucking goals. You already late. You motherfuckers need to get your damn priorities straight. Wait. Like you're proud to be fake, but you lazy as fuck. And you rather sell drugs than get a job and be straight. And then you turn around and complain about the poverty rate. Fuck out of my face. You can't escape problems. You can pray for some change, but can't break a dollar. Got nobody else to blame, so you blame Donald. And fuck the world with a Make America Great condom. My boy's been back. I'm not racist. My sister's boyfriend's black. I'm not racist. My sister-in-law's baby cousin Tracy got a brother and his girlfriend's black. My head's in the clouds. Heard it's not enough jobs for all the men in your house. Maybe we should build a wall to keep the Mexicans out. Or maybe we should send them all to the ghetto for now. I'm not racist. And I never lie, but I think there's a disconnect between your culture and mine. I worship the Einstein, study to Steve Jobs, but you ride Tupac's dick like he was a fucking god, oh my god. And all you care about is rapping and stunting and being ratchet, and that's the nigga within you. Music right in your brain and slowly start to convince you. Then you let your kids listen and then the cycle continues. Blame it all on the menu, blame it on no drink, blame it on everybody except for your own race. Blame it on white privileges, blame it on white kids, and just blame it on white citizens. Aim it to vice president. Watch your class clown. Niggas kneeling on the field, that's a flag down. How dare you try to make demands for this money? You gon' show us some respect, you gon' stand for this country, nigga. I'm not racist. I'm just prepared for this type of war. I heard Eminem's rap at the awards. Who's he fighting for? Y'all can take that motherfucker too. He ain't white no more. It's like you wanna be so famous. You'll do anything for attention and a little payment. I can't take you nowhere without people pointing fingers. Pants hanging off your ass, you ain't got no home training. Put your fucking pants up, nigga. Put that suit back on, take that do-rag off. Take that gold out your mouth, quit the pitiful stuff. And then maybe police will stop killing you fucks. So what the fuck? I'm not racist. It's like we're living in the same building but split into two floors. I'm not racist. But there's two sides of every story. I wish that I knew yours. I wish that I knew yours. I'm not racist. I swear. With all disrespect, I don't really like you white motherfuckers. That's just where I'm at. Screaming all lives matter is a protest to my protest. What kind of shit is that? And that's one war you'll never win. The power in the word nigga is a different sin. We shouldn't say it, but we do, and that's just what it is. But that don't mean that you can say it just cause you got nigga friends. Nigga. That word was originated for you to keep us under. And when we use it, we know that's just how we greet each other. And when you use it, we know there's a double meaning under. And even if I wasn't picking cotton physically, that don't mean I'm not infected by the history. My grandmama was a slave, that shit gets to me. And you ain't got no motherfucking sympathy, you pussy nigga. Sorry, you can never fail my life. Trying to have faith, but I never feel alright. It's hard to elevate when this country's ran by whites. Judging me by my skin color and my blackness. Trying to find a job, but ain't nobody call me back yet. Now I gotta sell drugs and put food in my cabinet. You crackers ain't slick, this is all a part of your tactics. Don't talk about no motherfucking taxes. When I ain't making no dough, you think you know everything, but you don't. You wanna copy our slang and everything that we know. Try to steal black culture and make it your own. Whoa. Fuck, I'm exhausted. I can't even drive without the cops trying to start shit. I'm tired of this systematic racism bullshit. All you do is false shit, just the shit that I'm false with. And you don't know shit about my people, that's what bothers you. You don't know about no fried chicken or no barbecue. You don't know about the two steps or no loose chains. You don't know about no two chains or no Kool-Aid. You don't know. And even though Barack was half as black, you hated President Obama, I know that's a fact. You can't wait to get him out and put a cracker back. And then you gave us Donald Trump, and I was payback for that. I'm not racist. I never lied, but I noticed a disconnect between your culture and mine. Yeah, I praised Tupac like he was a fucking god. He was fighting for his life way before he fucking died. Nigga, die, nigga. And all you care about is money and power and being ugly. And that's the cracker within you. Hatred all in your brain and slowly start to convince you. Then you teach it to your children until the cycle continue. Blame it on Puerto Rico. Blame it on OJ. Blame it on everybody except for your own race. Blame it on black niggas and blame it on black citizens. Aim it to black businesses. I ain't saying I'm innocent, but I might be any day now, treating everybody how you want in any way how. I swear North Korea about to bomb us any day now. And now I'm ducking every time I hear a fucking plane now. You know I make a lot of sense, but you just can't admit it. When Eminem went against Trump, that was the illest. Cause even though he's white, he let us know he's standing with us. I'm not racist, but I cry a lot. You don't know what it's like to be in a frying pot. You don't know what it's like to mind your business and get stopped by the cops. And I know if you're about to die or not. You worry about your life, so you take mine. I love you, but I fucking hate you at the same time. I wish we could trade shoes, or we could change lives, so we can understand each other more, but that'll take time. I'm not racist. It's like we living in the same building, but splitting to both sides. I'm not racist. But there's two sides to every story, and now you know mine. Can't erase the scars with a bandage. I'm hoping maybe we can come to an understanding. Agree to disagree, we can have an understanding. I'm not racist.
And that's it in a nutshell. Racism will be here. You can't change it. You can't change human nature and human beings. But you, but the way to deal with it is just understand it and move on and not criminalize someone because of their beliefs. And if somebody doesn't like you, you know, if fuck you, Joe had a daughter, I wouldn't want her around my kids. You know how she would be. But it doesn't mean I don't like fuck you, Joe. I mean, I'll still steal his barbecue when he's not looking, and I'll have my barbecue on the weekend, and I'll return it. But we just got to understand that racism is here. You can't stop it. Quit talking about it. People know what racism is. Why do we need to change laws? Because are we that stupid? You mean to tell me that the lawmakers want to just make a point so they can get elected, so they're going to talk about this and change a law and say put it in schools so the kids know? Why do we need to, any motherfucker that wants to change laws and say this and this and this about we should study racism? We don't need to study racism. We are racism. We just need to agree to disagree and respect one's beliefs and move on. That's the only way we become one. Good morning, fuck you, Joe. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I respect your views. Now move on.
You have Latia and you have Mr. King in the studio today. Exactly. We're talking about...
Hello.
Hey,
okay.
What's going on, Joe?
Hey, King.
We're talking about critical race theory, which is bullshit. And I know before we move on, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to it.
No, I don't even like talking about race anymore. It gets a little bit too prolonged. It just keeps going on and on and on, so I don't even like talking about it. There's one thing I want to ask you a question. When Sarge was on the show last time, and we were talking about Ashley Babbitt, did he say that Ashley Babbitt was near a window or hanging on or just about to climb over the wall?
Who's Ashley Babbitt?
Before she got shot.
Oh,
remember the woman that got shot?
Oh, yeah, the girl that stuck her face into the, she got shot at the coup.
At the Capitol.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. He talked about a lot of things. What I got out of it is he said that she did not have a weapon. There was no reason to shoot her or anything like that. I didn't hear the details that she was hanging on to something or anything like that.
King, do you remember, because it's important, because for the first time I saw the video, and I thought Sarge had said that she was, you know, everybody knew that she, well, not everybody knew that she was unarmed, but everybody, she was just coming over the fence, coming over the wall, at a window or something like that. And
according
to the video.
No, they breached the Capitol. Mm-hmm. They breached the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
The senators were held up in this little room or the hall, whatever you want to say it. And if you saw mm-hmm. the, so she didn't climb over the wall or nothing. They were in this room. The senators were in this room. and these guys were protecting the room, and as you saw the video, they were trying to break down the door. She broke a window. They stick her face through it, and that's when they shot her. That's what happened. So I don't...
All right.
Because
Sarge was saying...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, John.
Go ahead, Brian. It seems like we have a delay. Do we have another delay?
Do. No, it's okay.
We
it's
do.
It's okay.
Oh.
It's okay.
So, all right. So you were arguing. I had seen the video. Didn't know it was Ashley Babbitt when I had seen it months ago. Because I don't think they even mentioned it was Ashley Babbitt at the time during that during that video. But I saw it after the show. And I could, and Sarge was saying that because of his training, the guy should never have fired never have fired his weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part about that is that I might have to agree with you until I talk to Sarge and find out what exactly he said. Because I know if I was a cop and there was somebody breaking down the door to the congressional room where the senators and the congressmen were, and it was my job to protect them, I think I would have shot her too. So I wanted to find out for sure what Sarge said, because Sarge is usually right on point. So next time I see him or talk to him, I'll ask him about it.
He might come in the room. Usually, again, you can see the time we're on right now is an unusual time. But if he's searching, he's usually on at 7 a.m. when I'm on. In the beginning, he knows I'm on. So I would ask him. I'm trying to remember his point of view. His point of view was, one, she was unarmed. My argument was, how did we know? Two, he's talking about there's other ways of doing it, you know, non-lethal weapons that they could have done. But we all know that cops shoot to kill. They're not thinking about, where's my beanbag gun, where's my taser? If they pull their weapon, they pull their weapon. I won't go into any other detail until you talk to him, because I think you agree with me. But we got to hear what he says that we can talk about that.
Yeah,
but
I've got
a point of view.
Yeah. I'm going to download the show. I'm going to see if I can search for what he said. I'm going to search for what he said on the show.
Okay.
Go from there.
I don't even remember when that show was. I haven't been on for it. What is this, Wednesday? I haven't. It might have been Friday. I think I was on Friday. Thursday or Friday, I think it was. And we were talking about it, and it was, God, I'm trying to even think, it was in the middle of the conversation. Good luck on that, buddy, because we got 3 hours of show. But I think it was Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
I've got to show that. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay.
What are you going to
do? Well, we're going to do a transition. Now, I'm for women making their own decision, their bodies, their decision. Last night, Governor Greg Abbott in Texas, he signs into law one of the nation's strictest abortion measures. He's banning procedures as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy. There's argument on the other side saying some women don't even know that they're pregnant. It got to a point what this law says, and I'll read a little bit and you can listen to him a little bit, how important this law is. In fact, you know, Texas have one of the most strictest abortion laws ever, and some claim they only had like 2 or 3 clinics left because they closed their ass down. But here's how important this law is. If you're an Uber driver, I said it in the beginning of the show, if you're an Uber driver and you're taking someone to one of these clinics to get a procedure, you can be sued. If you're a best friend and you're taking somebody to a clinic for abortion, you could be held accountable to and sued. This is how the law is made. So basically they're saying that even if you are accompanying somebody to get an abortion, you are liable. You are liable. Now, I hear about the Uber driver? Yes.
Are you sure about the Uber driver?
Yes.
Really?
100%. Yeah, I just heard it on the news.
Oh, that's,
and they gave that as an example. Yeah.
That's a stupid
one. That got to that point. Now, the Supreme Court decided not to comment on this, which works in the governor's favor, meaning it goes to the lower court. And the lower court kicked it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says, you know what, we're not going to touch this shit. And if he got the verdict of the lower court, which it looks like he did, this goes to, and he signed it into law as of last night. You're done in Texas. Whether you, and I hate Blog Talk shows where you read and this, we get bored, but I have to put it in context of what's going on just in case, because this just happened last night. It says Greg Abbott, that's the governor of Texas. He signed into law Wednesday a measure that would prohibit in Texas abortions as early as 6 weeks, before some women know they're even pregnant, and open the door for almost any private citizen to be sued. He opened the door for almost any private citizen to sue abortion providers and others. And others. You may be the other. The signing of this bill opens a new frontier in the battle over abortion restrictions as first of its kind. It's intended to make the law harder to block. And he did this. He did it very carefully, meaning that he made it so hard for even people who are anti-abortionists. I mean, I'm sorry, the people who are pro-life, I'm guessing. No, not pro-life, but pro-choice, I'm sorry. Pro-choice, for their lawyers to even sue them. He did it great. Of course, the abortion rights people, they promised to challenge the law, which they consider one of the most extreme nationwide and strictest in Texas since the landmark Roe versus Wade. Basically, what he did was he overturned. Say goodbye to Roe versus Wade. People kept thinking, no, they won't touch that. It's been around. No. Trump put the people in Supreme Court who are conservative, pro-life. But again, the Supreme Court has, they're not going to touch this. They're like little pussies. We're out. But he overturned Roe versus Wade. It would amount to an outright ban on abortions as the six-week cutoff. It's 2 weeks after a missed menstrual cycle. What it means is 2 weeks. Remember the old days when your girlfriend missed a period? And then he goes, okay, well, let's wait another day. I've been there so many times. My God, I should be an OBGYN. Oh, here we go. Okay, drink some juice. But you get plenty of rest. Okay, all that bullshit. After two weeks, you can no longer get an abortion. A lot of women just missed a cycle, and that's it. That's it. The law takes effect in September. Our Creator endowed us with the right to live, and yet millions of children lose their right to live every year because of abortion. That's what the governor said. Millions of you guys. Now, I keep telling you on this show, I'm a very humble man, and I'm a very God-fearing person. I should have my own ministry. And I say this, fuck responsibly. Please say that as a disclaimer. Just fuck responsibly. Some of you motherfuckers are not fucking responsibly. You're passing left and you're passing right. And next thing you know, happy Father's Day. The governor's signature comes just after U.S. Supreme Court said, it's true, right, King? What?
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, when I read this, I keep thinking in my head, see, I'm one of these people. I have never got a woman pregnant. I never caught a disease. Why? Because I take myself out of a situation that something could happen. I never got myself in a situation where a woman could say, I raped her, or it's my child. And how? Because I take myself out of the situation. There's no way in hell a woman could say I raped her. Because, first of all, I'm not coming on to you little bitches. If anything, you could say, he made me suck my dick and you got my dick print on your lips and go, okay, I'm guilty. But I'm not going in there without a lawyer. And I got some Jews who are good lawyers that will deny everything. And if you, even if I lose, my Jew lawyers will make you feel very, very guilty for making me guilty. Oh, the Jews hate me. Will make you feel very, very guilty to say that this man's guilty. The governor's signature comes after the U.S. Supreme Court said it would hear a case concerning a Mississippi law that would ban most abortions after 15 weeks and which could lead to new limits on abortion rights in the first major abortion case heard before the court. See, you know, when I read this, I'm saying, why are we getting here? And I'm used to be, like I said, women choice. Your choice. But why are you putting yourself in a situation? See, now it makes me angry. And I go back to, I never put myself in a situation. I don't put myself in a situation for a DUI because why? I don't drive drunk. I can go on with examples. So if you have to, one case in my back of my warped mind is saying, are you worried about this? Why are you worried about abortion? Meaning that, why are you having sex unprotected? Why are you taking a chance to have a child you do not want? Why are you using abortion as a form of birth control? That gets into my head. That gets into my head. And then you're going to cry to me, I have the right to abort it. That tells me you're not matured enough to have the right to have sex. And why would you take irresponsible sex to have that procedure? But you want to make sure that it's on the docket because you want to make sure that you have the right to open your legs, have a kid that you do not want, but have the thing to say, I can abort it if I want to. And don't think women, some girls don't think that. I'll just get an abortion. Don't think, some girls don't think that or women think that. Why don't you just fuck responsibly and nip that in the bud? Why would this be a big deal? Anyway, the Senate Bill 8 was the top priority of Republican lawmakers, of whom signed on as an author of the sponsor of the measure. The bill bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat. Now, see, that's where they get you. When they hear a heartbeat, it's a person. That's where the line has drawn. We didn't know where the line was drawn. Is it drawn as soon as you hear a heartbeat, or is it drawn at conception? Now, they made it out there. It's a heartbeat. It includes cases where the women was impregnated as a result of rape or incest. Well, there you go, ladies. You don't have it out anymore. I can see it now. I'm a cop. You call me over. Hello, Officer Brian. Yeah, I'm here. Don't mind the donuts. Where do I put my donut down? I don't want to mess up your coffee table. It's a good donut. Free. I'm a cop. Well, we have a... And they'll call me at the hospital. I'm talking to the doctor. Well, we have a case of a woman who wants to get an abortion, and it's illegal, and she won't leave. Oh, damn. Mess up my lunch. You know, I was having a perfectly good lunch. You know what I was eating? I was eating a glazed donut. Now I have to deal with this. And the law says, look, lady, the law is clear. After 2 weeks, you missed your cycle, you have an abortion. I mean, you cannot have abortion. It's against the law. Oh, it's my body and everything. And I just want to kill the baby. I can't have it. I got to arrest you. And the kid, the unborn kid that you're carrying, is following charges. There you go. It's my duty. I got to protect the kid. But we don't think about when women say have the right to choose. Yes, you do. But do you have the right to choose for your baby? And is it a baby? The law says as soon as they hear a heartbeat, it's a person now. is a separate person from you. Do they have a right to life? Even though some doctors are saying it's safe for the procedure, are you still killing a person? I say to you, Mr. King, this is what it is. As soon as you hear a heartbeat, but remember, in the old days, you still have time to suck that baby out and kill it. And it's still health. Or as soon as you hear a heartbeat, do you think that a woman should have an abortion and kill it? And do you think it's a person? I go to you, Mr. King.
I don't think she should. I mean, if there's a child in it, I don't think she should kill it, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if she does do it, she'd just be having to feel bad on down the road, you know.
Should she
be
arrested?
Personally, because it's like, if you're carrying a human being, then, you know, I would say if you're killing it, then killing a child, that's the same as me walking up to somebody and, you know, killing them or, you know, something like that. I would think that's the same thing, you know. So if a woman is pregnant and there's a heartbeat and they kill that child, then, yeah, they need to be arrested because that is considered murder. So,
well, what about,
but
well,
I mean,
why not? Well, why not we arrest a guy? Shouldn't he be accessory to murder? What is his responsibility?
Yeah, he needs to go to
jail.
He need to go too.
Yeah, now you hear from the women.
Yeah, my daughter.
What the hell? Are you kidding me?
But the thing is, the guy wouldn't have anything to do with it because the woman's carrying it. You know what I mean? So it's like me. That's like me telling a female, "This is my baby." So don't you kill it. If she goes out there and kill it, then she needs to go to jail. She needs to go away.
What if it was the other way around? If the man tell the girl go get an abortion?
Well,
you need to
say that
of course,
again.
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
No. The man can't be responsible. That's like some chick stealing a man's car and then blaming the guy because his car was stolen. Come on.
My daughter dad needs to go to jail. Told me to get one, so he needs to go to jail. Even though I didn't go to jail, but yet you still told me to go get one.
You see the woman's reasoning? Some guy told you to do it, you didn't do it, and now he has to go to jail because he told you to do it.
Yep, so he's trying to run away from his responsibilities. If you man enough to lay down and have sex and get a baby, you should be man enough to take care of your responsibilities. I'm not finna sit here and do it by myself.
What's that? You just said you didn't do it.
Meaning
so why would
I
the man go
my child,
to jail?
Meaning I did not get an abortion.
I know what you meant. You said you didn't do it.
Exactly.
But you said the guy should go to jail for telling you to go get it.
Yeah. Because, men should even tell a person to go get an abortion after the fact that you know by you having unprotected sex, it's easy for her to get pregnant. Like, if you know you're not ready to be a father, then don't stick your little wee-wee in somebody to get them pregnant. That's just how I feel.
Well, yeah, and this is and people wonder what's wrong with America today. Jesus.
I'm gonna come to her rescue. Go ahead. I'm gonna come to her. I'm on your side. You keep on talking, Latia. These little animals
Go
ahead, girl.
Let's say Joe got somebody pregnant, right? But Joe didn't know until after the girl told her, right? So Joe only slept with her one time. So Joe like, okay, I ain't did nothing but slept with her one time. So she used to say, well, now I'm pregnant. Let me tell him that I'm pregnant. And then he say, oh, well, I know it ain't mine. And then you done gave him all the details, the date and everything. She'll say it ain't mine. Well, and then the girl was like, well, I didn't ask for this. And then here comes Joe saying, ain't after this either. If you didn't want the baby, then get rid of it. So how would you expect the girl to feel if Joe had sex with her, right? And then the girl found out she was pregnant a week later or whatever, the week, whatever, how she found out. And then Joe just come out his mouth and say, well, I ain't after this either, so get rid of the baby. How would you expect this first-time mother or however, you know, how many kids she got, like, how would you expect for her to feel if the person she laid up with tell her to get rid of the baby? So basically, he just telling her, I don't care about the baby. I don't care about you. Get rid of it. That's not my responsibility. So it's like you can't just think about it one way. You got to think about it two ways. When that boy told me to get rid of my baby, I was like, oh, so that's what you want to do, right? Okay. I didn't have the guts to get rid of my child, and I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I did because I didn't. Some other girls, they really want to be with you. You know they're going to do what they want to do because they're going to want to be with you because, you know, you don't want nobody with no kids. That's fine. You do what you do. But me, no. But, yeah. Like everybody's got their own opinion, that was just my opinion.
Go ahead, F. Lee Jackson. Defend it.
Lee Jackson. Well, Your Honor, as you can tell by my client how beautiful she is, smart she is, hell, I'll go to bed with her. Oh, never mind that. Let's talk about the law. See, it takes two to conceive a baby.
Sure do.
And as you can see, my client is one, so it took another person to conceive this baby. Now, if you put the whole decision on one person, I argue that is wrong because it took two people to have the baby. So I think for her to go in and decide to have an abortion or not abortion, and if you arrest her, I think you should also arrest the man who partake into this situation, because he's just as fault as she is, because he could have used protection as she could have. And at this instant, neither one of them did use protection with con Exhibit A, the baby. So therefore,
that's the law.
So therefore, the man cannot be excused from this decision because that baby is part of him too. So what I'm saying to you, to make this law correct, if you're going to go with this law, which I do not agree, but let's just go with the law, the man should be held responsible too, knowing that if he impregnates this woman, he doesn't want to have the baby either, that he would be saying, I would like to have an abortion. And unless if there's some proof that she has a written notarized letter from him saying, if you become pregnant, I would like to assume the responsibility as a father, or that's the only way that he would get off the hook on this, unless he has a letter notarized saying, if she becomes pregnant, she has had sex at her own will with me, it was consensual, and if she becomes pregnant, I authorize that she can have an abortion. That's the only way he gets out of this, because the laws have made it hard for men, let's just be honest. Women have done such a great job about turning into law and parent law and people law and family law that the law will usually on the woman's side and has isolated the man. But this is one of the things where it's going to backfire on women, because this basically saying that you are the sole person with this decision and take the consequences. To make this law fair, the man should also take the consequences, knowing that he does not want to become a father, knowing that she doesn't want to become a mother, that the ultimate outcome in his head is an abortion. So if that's the outcome of both of them are thinking, he should also share the responsibility of the law. I rest my case. Thank you.
Now, if I were the judge and you were talking about the bebe, I would say,
But somebody please tell me what the fuck he was talking about.
I'm talking about the baby.
Yeah, because in Georgia, they got an abortion law. If your baby has a heartbeat and you still end up getting an abortion, you automatically go to jail.
But it is, and Joe, you would have to admit, and I go with Latia, and you would have to admit, if if you put more responsibility on a man in this situation, knowing that this law is this tight, and knowing that you got a small window, it says here most women don't even realize they're pregnant until, you know, maybe 7 weeks or whatever. By that time, it's too late. Now you have to have the baby. And if the man is bedding with you and knowing that he does not want to become a father, shouldn't there be some kind of responsibility on him saying, I got to protect myself, or I got to make sure, okay, it happens, accidents happen, but when you miss your first cycle, we go in to check to see if you're pregnant. He should have some kind of responsibility in this instead of it's just like, for the woman's opinion.
Of course not. What are you kidding me? The man doesn't
really?
Have any responsibility, according to the law, about whether or not she gets an abortion. So how can he have any responsibility if the law is already there saying that he doesn't have any voice whatsoever? So how can he have any responsibility if the law says he has no voice? Like I said before, if I was a lawyer, all I'd have to do is give that analogy. I won the case. It's like a woman stealing a man's car and then putting the man in jail for being the owner of the car that she stole. No. So I'm sorry, Effley Franklin Jackson. Case dismissed.
You racist. You get
and
the hell out of my courtroom, you racist motherfucker.
Right.
Effley Franklin. How do I get Franklin in?
I don't know how Franklin.
Why don't you just call me Bo Cephas? But Joe does have a point. I know Franklin. But Joe does have a point, Latia. Well, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think, King?
Well, okay, so I answered the question about, you know, if the woman should go. Now that we're on talking about the opposite, you know, I want to say, like, if you go to court and, you know, throughout the court case and all that stuff, they find out that, okay, well, the DNA links to the baby. Well, what's going to happen is, since there was a heartbeat, the judge is going to be like, well, there's a heartbeat, the DNA from the male connects to the female, you know, both parents are the parents of this baby, and what's going to happen is, you know, they're going to look at, okay, well, the man told the woman, get rid of the baby. She got rid of it. We got all these messages. We got all this evidence. In that kind of case, you know what I mean? The judge going to be like, well, you know, you both, you know, committed murder. You know what I mean? So it's like, I understand what, you know, everybody's talking about, but from the, like, judicial point of view, they're going to send both parents to jail. You know what I mean? And so it's like, that's what it's going to lead to. You know what I mean? And like I think
you know what
you were saying, and I,
yeah.
What
you are so right, King. That's exactly what it's going to lead to. I wasn't even thinking
well, already,
of that. That may be
it's already in the law.
And so
it's already
so
in the law.
I think Latia
said
out there where she's at, they have the abortion law, and the thing is that is what's going to happen. You know what I mean? So you know, yeah. For an example. Okay, so my answer earlier, I was thinking like, okay, let's say if a woman out there was out there prostituting, she got pregnant, and she got rid of the baby, yeah, she would be going to prison, jail, whatever, okay? But if you have two individuals, that are fucking, sucking, whatever, she get pregnant, and the man be like, I don't want it, get rid of it. And what's going to happen is like, either she's going to drink a lot, she's going to try to fall down a lot to have a miscarriage, or if she does go to a clinic, you know, she's, you know, whatever happens in that clinic happens. Now, the downfall of that is if somebody runs across that and they send it to the courts, you know, then when it goes to the courts, if they link that man's DNA to that baby or however they do that technology shit in the lab, if it connects that, okay, this is that, you know, then, you know, like I said, once it's all connected and they see how the mom and dad was going back and forth about, well, you told me to kill her. I didn't want to do it. I really, you know what I mean, or whatever the case is. Once all them evidence come in to play in courtroom, then, like I said, they'll both be found guilty of murder. You know what I mean? And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know what I mean, if we tell that woman, no, get rid of it, you might want to rethink that. You know what I mean? First, you better make sure you're not in one of those states that has the abortion law. You know what I mean? Because if you tell her to get rid of it and she gets rid of it, you're going to be going to jail for murder. You know what I'm saying? Or you're going to be in prison for a few years or whatever. You know what I mean?
You're
then,
right.
Two, you better make sure you keep a paper trail of wherever she's going and don't discuss anything through text messages, because the power of screenshot in today's world, it's powerful than a motherfucker. So you better make sure you don't leave a paper trail. If you do leave a paper trail, you better make sure you dispose it all. And then three, you know, it's three, just be mindful whatever decision you make. That's all I could say. But we, as men, if we don't want a child, Or if those men don't want a child, the best thing to do is to go get fixed to where you can't have children, or just wear a fucking condom. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, my answer earlier was from a, you know, I was thinking from if a woman was prostituting and got pregnant, you know. Then, then we went on to a whole nother thing and talked about the men. So I have to come back in so I can explain, because, you know, earlier, you know what I mean, I'm just like, okay, well, let me just say this, you know what I mean? But I have to come back in and explain it, because I didn't want everybody to walk away like, damn, that nigga King Webb was like, shit, fuck that shit. She needs to go to prison, you know what I mean? So I have to come in and explain that. So, but that's how I feel about it, you know what I mean? Buck Fanny's playing a part in it, and it's not going to be one go to jail and the other one don't. Your brother going to go to jail. You know what I'm saying? Depending on if that state has no abortion law. And with that, I rest my case.
Well, you did nail it, because, and you did explain it right,
yeah.
Because it is here. They're saying not only if you're part of it, but if you're an Uber driver taking her there, you are now an accessory. So you know that's going to go with the father too. So if you're anybody, you could be a friend, relative, whatever, and take her to an abortion clinic, you are now liable, and you are now part of this. So I do, and King brought up a good point that I didn't. I mean, there can be some guys like, and this goes back to Latia, maybe Latia wants to have the baby, and the guy says no. You know, it could be a number of reasons. He's married, whatever. And he convinces Latia to get an abortion. Now it's too late. And then, but he convinces her. He takes her somewhere else. And that's going to be another point here, because we had that case about 3 months that you had a state that was against abortion. So they took the woman to another state, cross state lines, where she received the abortion. But when she came back, she was prosecuted. She was actually prosecuted for killing someone. So this is a very complicated thing. So I agree with King.
Yeah.
Now, if the man says, hey, you know, convinces Latia, and I'm just using her as an example, and she does because she loved him so much and they're not ready, but they will have a future, Don't you think, Joe, in that point, he should be also held accountable for killing a child in that instance?
Well, I hope that if I ever have to go to court, that whoever I have to face on the other on the other side of the bench, I hope I is either King or you. Okay.
Oh man, I mean it's real. You know what I mean? It's like for an example, like you know how everybody's online dating. Everybody doing this online dating.
Yeah,
shit.
I know.
So if you mess with somebody in California, and that's the law out there, you can't go to Minneapolis thinking, okay, well let's say you're from Minneapolis, and you go to Cali,
mm-hmm.
you get that girl pregnant. You know what I mean? Just because y'all from two different states, that don't mean shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I'm telling you, man, people better.
I know what the law. Yeah, look, I'm agreeing with you and with Brian in that
yeah.
the law is going to be like that. I'm saying
oh, yeah.
the law should
oh,
not
yeah.
be like that.
Oh yeah,
I think
they're gonna
yeah.
make it mandatory in every state, little by little.
Yeah, and it'll be going, and they'll be going against the men. It'll be another way to bring down America. It should not be that
yes.
way. That's why there are lawsuits, and that's why there are other lawyers who dispute it. The fact that a law
yeah.
is passed doesn't mean the law is correct. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for example,
and
right
I
now.
I agree.
Right
it
now,
shouldn't
before,
be that way.
Before this.
It shouldn't
yeah.
be.
Before this case came up, for years now, we know
yeah.
of this. They've been saying that the woman has the right to have an abortion. However, and
yeah.
they were talking about
yeah.
how the fetus is not really a human being until it's born. But I think in every state,
yeah.
I may be wrong about this, but in a lot of states, if a woman is driving drunk, gets into an accident, and kills that baby, that chick is now liable for some sort of either negligent homicide or some
right.
sort of, not murder,
right.
but negligent homicide.
Mm.
So why is she considered somebody who can be tried for that destruction of the baby under those circumstances, but yet when it comes to a willful destruction and killing of the baby, she has the right to do it? So you see the contradiction in the law. Okay?
Yeah.
So just because the law is a law doesn't mean it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
it
I
don't. It really don't.
I could almost understand that it could because it's a
yeah.
medical procedure. It's a health care thing. It's like if you went to the doctor about your own health, in this particular situation you are pregnant and still dealing with health care, and you would have to make the decision if you're having an operation or not an operation, or the doctor would have to ask you, ma'am, you may have cancer, and we might want to go through the screening. You are the sole person that make that decision. So I can understand if she's having health care, and that's the person, it's her condition that we're talking about,
yeah.
that
yeah.
it could have a decision without another person. If you went to a hospital, Joe, and you needed brain surgery, and they asked me, I'm saying, it's not going to help. No. It would be. It would.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really. I got better things to do. But it's your
and
own
I
decision.
And I agree with what Joe said. Like, mm-hmm. I agree with Joe. Like, what Joe said. Like, I don't agree with the law. And I guess the reason why I don't agree with it is because I know a whole family out here in Phoenix right now where the father raped all his kids. Some of them got away, some of them didn't. And one of the children ended up getting pregnant. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess that's why I don't agree with it. But the only thing I can say is, as men, we just got to keep our dicks in our pants. Women, they just got to know when to get horny, when not to get horny. You know what I'm saying? I mean, shit, better. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, shit.
You're just like
know.
A man. You're just like a man, King. Women, you got to know when to get horny. It's not the time, bitch. when to get horny, when not to get horny.
For real.
I don't, you know, I don't. See,
crazy.
The problem
what about all the
is,
times when the men, did you see the recent video where the man has had to pay child support for years? And the girl admitted it wasn't even his child.
Yeah, but the kid recognized him as the father, and he played the role of the father as a care.
No, he didn't.
I understand.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. Oh, really?
No, not this one. This guy was in prison for years.
Wow.
And the woman named him as the father. They had been going together. She named him as the father. She even admitted that she put down his name in order to get the welfare check.
Mm-hmm.
And for years he had to fight it. The courts knew he did not get her pregnant. But he had to fight it for years. He finally got a lawyer that got him off the hook. So just because the law is out there doesn't mean people should go by it. People have to use critical thinking and start asking themselves some logical questions about every situation and then come up with the right answer. Too many people are going with this, are just blindly accepting, well, the law is the law. Fuck the law. The law is made by politicians who are being paid to pass laws which are not there to help you.
I understand what you're saying, but if we don't abide by the law, we're going to have another purge. I mean, we make our own laws, and it's called, you know, militias and rogue country. We got to have some form of law for some form of order, or we're going to have anarchy. Whether you agree with the law or disagree with the law, we have to have some form of law for one nation to agree upon, to respect the law and obey it. I don't agree with all the laws. You're absolutely right. We do have measures, and we do have things on ballots that people vote for that become law. It's just that we don't have a dictatorship or a monarchy that would say, now this, or a dictatorship, this is the law. People do vote for the, and our constitutions have been amended because of voting and people getting involved and changing things. So I have to, there's a lot of laws that I don't like. But if we get rid of laws and have this critical thinking, black people are in trouble. At one point, you know, I'm not going to bring up the race card, but at one point, y'all just used to ride horses and lynch us. I'm just saying history.
Yeah, I'm not going to bring it up. Yeah.
No, but you, in the Wild, Wild West, you know.
You didn't have the Wild, Wild West. The Wild, Wild West is a myth.
No, I got King who lives in Arizona. He can tell you that shit. We still got cowboys riding with shotguns in the back of their pickup trucks. It's still live. It's still alive.
Yeah.
But you hear what I'm saying,
James Arnaz. Look, what you said, you're conflating two issues. Yes, there should be laws. Okay, I'm not saying eliminate the laws. There should be. And I'm not an anarchist.
Right.
Because if you have any group of people that come together, let's say 10 people, right, then it grows to 20 people, 30 people in any community. You have to have laws because there's always going to be disputes. How are you going to settle those disputes unless you blow each other's heads off? In order not to blow each other's heads off, you have to agree that there's a body there that's going to make laws and take care of the conflict. So there's always going to be laws.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, just because a law is passed doesn't mean it's a good law.
Oh, sure. I agree with you there.
Saying.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But you were saying we don't have to obey it. I think I heard the part where you said we don't have to obey it.
If the law sucks, well, you know what they, look, to bring up slavery, I don't know if you guys knew this, but I read this. When the slaves ran away from the slave masters, do you know that they were officially called mentally ill people? It was against the law. I'm not kidding.
Leave that crazy guy go. He's mentally ill. When you're running away, we're treating you so nice.
I know. Why don't you like being whipped? It's something
something wrong with you. You know?
So, that is so good.
Because the law's on the book. Yeah. Doesn't mean it's a good law. That's what I'm saying. Judges and lawyers are paid to make laws bad because they're paid by lobbyists and they get a cut. Like you've heard of the cases of the judges that every time they send a kid, they get a kid removed from a home and put the kid in foster care, or they put the kid in an orphanage. That judge under the table gets a cut. That's because they have an incentive to do it. So there's a lot of corruption. I'm just saying, take a look at the law, use some critical thinking, and judge based upon logic whether or not the law is a good law. This should be law, but I'm not for every law.
Well, that's why we have petitions and we have bills and that people can vote to change the law. That's why they're on the ballot when you vote. These are the laws. It's complicated. It's in lower east where the average person won't understand it. We have one over here in California. Democratic Governor Newsom is being recalled. Now, the ballot is very simple. When they mail it to your house, you vote no. That means you don't want him recalled. But then there's a second part of the ballot saying, well, if you don't want Newsom to be recalled, or if you do want somebody to take a place, who would you vote for? And people are getting confused. So if you go to the second part where it says, well, if Newsom is going to be recalled, who would you vote for? And then you put a Republican. That's the vote. And people don't understand. If you fill out the second part, you're basically recalling Newsom. Don't do it. So it's complicated to
No, it is. The way you explained it doesn't make it confusing. You got a piece of paper in the mail. It says, do you want to recall Newsom, the first part? Now, I don't know. I've never seen it. Don't even know how it operates. But judge by what you've just finished
saying. What they're saying is say no and mail it in. Don't even look at the second part. That's what they're saying.
Well, okay.
If you want Newsom.
Well, I mean, if it's confusing, it wasn't confusing to me the way that you said it.
I have it. I do have it.
Mm-hmm. Now it's going to become confusing. Oh, God. Oof. I wish you would start your own law business, because I would go to the state that you practice law in, that you're a defense, that you're an ADA, a district attorney. And I could have Curly Moe and Larry as my lawyers, and I would get off.
Those are my lawyers. Those are my lawyers.
I got a new lawyer. You lose.
Exactly. And even if I did lose, he's gonna make you feel very guilty that you voted against me.
That's right. You're gonna have guilt for the rest of your life.
It's really complicated, and the fact of the matter is King brought up some good stuff. Latia, and you brought up some good stuff. Latia is saying this, and I like the way she's thinking. Why is it always has to be the woman that takes the full brunt of this when the man was also involved in conceiving the baby? And why aren't I think if they did it, you know what? She's right. If they did that and start putting men responsible for this shit, and that he can go to jail too for conceiving a baby, I got a feeling a lot more people will take responsibility on how they fuck. I really do. Women always used the thing about, wait, if men can have babies, then that means birth control would probably be very popular. And what do you think, Joe? I think they should put some kind of punishment on the men.
No, they should. They've already put the punishment on the land. Because if the man says to the woman, get an abortion, she says no. He's still got to pay for the birth. He's still got to pay for the upbringing for the rest, for the next 18 years. That is the punishment.
True. And let me ask Latia.
So now you want to send a man? Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I'd like to ask her that. Latia, are you still here? If you are here, Latia, this is the question, because she's listening, and maybe when she gets to the phone,
get
she can
out
answer
of bed, Latia.
She's
tell
good.
The man to go home.
The question is, Latia, if you ever get to the phone, is, Let's say you are pregnant and you want to have your baby. Well, you did. You're visiting in real life. And you mentioned that the guy did not want you to have the children. He wanted you to get an abortion. You mentioned it earlier. But you went ahead and had the babies anyway. But the guy was adamant, saying, I do not want you to have the babies. I want you to get an abortion. Do you think that's fair, that you can make that decision? Because when you do bring in that life, whether he likes it or not, he is connected to that baby for life. He is now a father, and he was adamant that he didn't want to be a father. So is it fair that women can make that decision and take, and I hate to use the word, take that man's life away and change his life for the rest of his life when he didn't want it and you had a chance to get rid of it? You know what I mean? I kind of think that, you know what I'm saying? Is that fair? So it's a rough one.
Here's another
one.
While she's getting rid of a condom, here's what I'm going to address your question, okay? You were saying that the man should be held responsible, right? Okay. Rather that the women were saying if men could get pregnant, there would be a lot more responsibility. How about this? If the man didn't have to pay child support or alimony or palimony, I guarantee you there wouldn't be any children. The birth rate would go down by 50%. How's that for responsibility? If you don't want the money, right?
He doesn't have to pay for it.
Because
I see what you're saying. The women would protect themselves more. I see what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You think right. if the guy was making $200,000 a year and she's a waitress,
right?
And he wants to fuck her, and she knows that if he fucks her, he's going to dump her, and she's not going to get any money from him. You think she's going to say to him, "Baby, it's okay. You don't have to wear a condom. No problem." You think that's what she's going to say, or is she going to say, "Put that fucking rubber on"?
Right. You know, you may have a point there too, Joe. You may have a point. Well, we have... Very good, Joe. Well done. We have 15 minutes for another transition. There's a thing right now. We got 15 minutes just to clear this. So here's the headlines that you're not going to like. Well, here's a headline right here, but that's going to take us into... Let me do a fast one because people are going to leave pretty soon. Donald Trump is having a hard time. I'm sorry. You're out.
You said
I'm
people
out.
Are going to leave. But yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm
you.
Out. Well, this is short.
Well, what
people are saying the big donors, the major Republican donors, are staying away from Trump. They said they have better things to do. Mm-hmm. And basically what they're saying is they don't like the way he is spending the money from the regular people, the little donations that he's getting. They're tired of it. They're tired of seeing this wasted spending. What they're saying is that they're tired of seeing him holding fundraisers that cost a lot of money, spending money on fundraisers with this conspiracy theorist thing. They said, we're tired of the shit show. That's what they said. What they're doing is they're opting to spend money on the GOP's effort to take back Congress, or they're going to support a potential 2024 president, such as Ron DeSantis and Tim Scott. So the donors are also concerned about how Trump's organization is spending the money it has raised from smaller donations. Big money, sophisticated people are just losing interest in this shit show, said one of the advisors to longtime Trump people. Several of the Republican Party biggest and most influential donors are signaling that they don't plan on helping funding former President Donald Trump's political operation for the moment.
Let's check my
They're tired
app.
Of it.
I bet you I have to call back in probably. Let me see.
Well, that was just it right there. They're just a headline. Yeah. I'm not going to go more into it. Yeah. And we're going to end the show anyway.
Oh, I got to call back in. Is your show going to be on?
For another 13 minutes, call back in. 13
minutes, call back in.
Okay, I'm calling back in now.
All right. So that's it. People are finally getting it. People are finally knowing that this is an old man who's retiring in Florida. He has no political juice anymore. And people are saying, we're tired of this. What's happening with the Republican Party is, I'm not going to explain it, we didn't have time to go into it, is that apparently Fox News is telling people to buy some horse medication to fight COVID, and the Republican states are getting sick. They're coming down with COVID. They're losing them. So that's another story. That's another thing. But that's basically it. The big donors are saying no more of this bullshit. And I think this is the end of Trump. And then there's another thing right here, as far as I'm getting money is concerned. And here's a question, and we're going to end the show with this. We have a major problem going on in the United States of America. A major problem. I walk down the street and I see help wanted signs everywhere. Help wanted, hiring, hiring, hiring. I see it everywhere I go. They're hiring. People are not applying. So this is a situation here. It says, what if people don't want a career? And they're talking about Burger King. They have a big sign at Burger King that says, we all quit. Sorry for the inconvenience. They quit. So they're saying right here, the careerist has long been a dirty word, blah, blah, blah. Career isn't a team player, blah, blah, blah. They care more about the job title and investment than the work. The current brand of career skepticism I'm talking about is different and it's absolute. In August, there was a job-seeking survey found that 55% of respondents, applicants, who were actively employed plan to look for a new job within the next year. People are not staying on jobs anymore for retirement benefits and so on and so forth. 55%.
Can you hear me? I'm having problems with my phone again. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. But this is very disturbing. Like I was saying, I walk down the street, I drive down the street, and all I can look to the left, I can look to the right, and I see help wanted. Okay. I see a lot of hiring going on, but nobody is applying. This is
serious. Well, there's
serious
a reason
shit.
For that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, don't call me your buddy, because every time we get on topics of female males and there's no woman around, except for maybe temporary members of the crew, I'm your buddy. A woman comes on your show, and all of a sudden, Joe needs brain surgery. And so don't call me your buddy.
Well, that's my buddy. That's how I think of it. That's how I do my friends. I don't want to bust. I don't want to bust what I can to make me look good. If I didn't know you, I wouldn't.
Don't worry about Joe. He needs brain surgery tomorrow. Yeah, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Hello,
buddy.
My friend. Lunch tomorrow? Are we still on for sports? Oh, man. All right, Joe. Fair enough. Good shot. You're absolutely right. I should not do that. If you're my buddy, I wouldn't throw you on the bus and say that you need brain surgery. I'll just say that you need a little help. They have to understand who I hang around with. But isn't it? But this is getting really bad, Joe and Latia and King. I mean, I'm not kidding. I walk around, I see the help wanted sign. Nobody's applying. Businesses are going out of business. People are leaving jobs. It's ridiculous. My girlfriend, they were hiring somebody, and his boss said there's a thing going on. I forgot what it's called. That people will take one job, but then they're just looking to see what's available to them, and then they're not really interested in taking a job. They're just seeing if it's out there. Forgot what it's called now. It's a new thing. I don't know. We have a problem. And, Joe, you did mention that. I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, Biden's giving us money, so why should we work? We make more money at home than we work. And the psychology of it is you lock us down for a year, and a lot of people adapted to working from home. What's the incentive of getting in that car and going on that freeway and rush traffic and going to an office, which you don't want to do? The psychological part of it is damaging to our society. I think you can't let the genie, you let the genie out of the bottle, and people had to make do working from home. They got accustomed to it. I know, now I worked from home. I worked from home before this pandemic, but I see of other people saying, okay, I adjusted working from home. What is my incentive to get up early in the morning, get dressed, fight the traffic, go to office where the people I don't care about, then come on home when I could do the job from here? Are we heading to a psychological breakdown here? Are we changing how we view our society? Welcome back, Joe. What is going on here? I mean, this is dangerous.
I heard the bottom part of your argument because my phone.
Right.
And I think Google's fucking with me. I think Google's fucking with my phone. And the reason why I say that is because about last week, I kept on getting messages like once every 5 minutes for Google wanting me to partake in one of their services. I kept on saying no, all fucking day. And I think you know that Apple can put on your phone right now, if you have an iPad, an iPhone, they can put on your phone apps that can record what you're saying, know it.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was disclosed a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Really?
But your argument with this,
Go ahead. I'm listening.
But your argument, I heard the second part of your argument. I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are. You cannot lock a person down for a year without some kind of psychological damage. And it's not funny what I'm saying, because we tend to adapt from our environment. But for us to make society work, we need incentive. Work hard, promotion, vacation pay. You get what I'm saying. So what is the incentive if you lock somebody down for a year and they can do the same job, if not better, from home, for them to get out and get a job at a place where you actually have to go to work, at a plumbing company or fast food restaurant or anything like that? Or even a person who worked at the office before as a corporate leader, what is the incentive for him to get up early in the morning and go to the office? We have created something very dangerous. Our whole lifestyle or the way we view things have changed. It'll never be the same again.
You're right. We're not going to go back to the new normal, and the future normal is going to be even worse.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I do agree with you. And then the psychological part of it is that it makes us more antisocial. Forget about hugging somebody, touching. What happens to our social skills? Are we going to rely on the internet, the Facebook, the Twitter, the whatever, the TikTok, the whatever, for our social game and to involve our kids? I mean, what's going to happen to them? I go back to King and I go back to Latia, but can you imagine, Joe, that your kid cannot hug another kid? I'm not there, but I don't know how they're doing it at recess. To play dodgeball, baseball, whatever, tackle a kid, share food with a kid. The psychological things that we're doing to our children could never be the same again. It's creating an antisocial society. That is not good. My opinion. Anybody? Okay. I don't know how we're going to change it. But I agree with Joe. We got to start thinking for ourselves and not be a clog in the machine, be a cog in the machine, not a clog, but a cog. We have to start saying, you know what, my kid needs social activities and blah, 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 blah. We're not going to go with politicians. We're not going to be a cog in the machine. We're not going to do it. But that's going to take a lot of strength. That's my opinion. Mr. Joe is in the studio today. I want to thank Fuck You Joe. I'm going to give him Fuck You Joe, better than Delusional Joe or Sleepy Joe or whatever Joe they give you in the other show. You'll always be Fuck You Joe to us. Thank you, Joe, for coming in the studio today. It's always a pleasure hearing your voice. And you are my buddy, and I will throw you under a bus when I can. Thank you. I want to thank you, Latia, for giving us that conversation today in a woman's point of view. I'd like to hear it. You made Joe happy. You made me happy, too, because I always love to hear your opinion. And I think it's very important and well said. Well said. Thank you, Latia, for coming in and supporting the show. The Kings of Kings, what can I say? My buddy on Facebook, supporting the show. My brother from another mother. King, thank you so much for coming in and keep supporting the show and bringing your good friends in here. I really appreciate it. It moves the show further. And Mr. Barry, I know you had to leave. Oh, anytime. And Mr. Barry, I know you had to leave. You probably only had a minute to come in, but I want to thank you for just dialing in and being part of the show. I will be back tomorrow morning at regular time at 7 a.m. At regular time. And I just want to send a real message to the women out there. Listen, ladies, seriously. I thought a lot about this abortion thing, but if you fuck responsibly, you don't have to worry about it. And if you are you with somebody that you know that you don't want to make him the baby daddy, don't worry about him. Protect yourself. And you don't even have to worry about this stupid law, right? Take yourself out of the situation. And this law doesn't even matter. But irresponsible people, guess what? There's consequences for your irresponsible decision. There's bad choices, and you got to pay the consequences. Right, King?
And
right, Joe?
Ladies,
right, Latoya?
And ladies, if you need something to fuck on, Miss Ellen J. got the toys. She got a website. You can buy some toys. And for the fellas, you know what to do. Go to Amazon, go to Adam and Eve, go to the sex website and get your pocket pussy.
That's right. Pocket pussy. The kind of pussy that won't sue you. Exactly. Get yourself a pocket pussy. Just fuck responsible. Don't make idiots make laws like this again that affect our lives. Thank you, guys. I love you guys. And I'll see you guys tomorrow at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Bye.
All right. Bye.